This week on Making Contact.
Yeah, I support community radio.
I support community radio.
Support community radio.
The people know how to tell their own stories and they know the solutions to their own problems. And community radio gives us an ally to do that.
Have you ever wanted to run your own radio station? Well, this October, the government agency responsible for administering America's airwaves is giving you and your neighbors the opportunity to create your own low-power FM station. It could result in hundreds or thousands of new radio stations across the U.S. and could radically change the country's media landscape.
This could be something for the first time that people can actually come together and collectively own in Jackson.
On this edition, Low Power FM Radio, we visit current stations, communities hopeful to have their own frequency soon, and find out how you can get involved. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Stay tuned for Making Contact.
But it's not this boring history.
With 15.
Posting pics of cake, hoping people will...
A la coalición de trabajadores de Moca, de eso se trata. Celso Martínez Hernández, Emilio Faustino Galindo, Federico Hernández López, Gilberto García.
In a ramshackle building a few miles from the edge of the Florida Everglades, DJ Domingo Jacinto is reading off a list of names. He's a radio personality, but Jacinto's also a farm worker and a community organizer.
5 days a week, we transmit normal music in Spanish, as well as Saturday. There's also a co-worker who has a program in the MAM language, which is spoken in Guatemala.
Spanish and MAM are two of the main languages spoken here in the farm worker town of Immokalee. This area is where many of America's tomatoes are picked, and it's also home to the Coalition of Immokalee Workers. Over the past two decades, those workers have taken on Taco Bell, Burger King, and McDonald's, just to name a few, in fighting for higher wages and better working conditions in the fields. And a 100-watt low-power radio station has helped them to do it.
Sometimes there's no time to go house by house to speak to the workers and invite them to a meeting or event. That's why the radio station was created, to send messages to everyone working in Immokalee.
Come on, Maria, let's go to the dance.
No, what dance? Juan, get ready. Instead, we're going to the weekly Wednesday meeting with the Coalition of Immokalee Workers.
What's that?
It's the organization where we all gather to ensure our rights as workers.
And how many miles do we have to travel on a bike to make it all the way there?
No, Juan, you don't need a bike. It's here, nearby.
In addition to music, WCIW is home to programs discussing workers' rights, health and safety in education, and announcements of community events. The station is known as Radio Conciencia, the conscience. The station's catchphrase is La Tuya, translated, it's yours. DJ Rolando Salas explains.
La Tuya se le dice es precisamente por el nombre de la radio, porque la radio se llama Radio Conciencia.
We say La Tuya because the radio station is called Conscience Radio. So by saying it's your conscience, we give the listener ownership to understand that the station belongs to them. It's yours.
Por decirle tu conciencia. Para no decir tu conciencia, no decimos solo La Tuya.
La Tuya. 107.9 FM.
Today, to 15,081, the Nasdaq had to close down.
All right, so we are here with...
I'm Brandy Doyle with the Prometheus Radio Project.
And what is the Prometheus Radio Project?
Prometheus builds and supports community radio stations, and we work with small organizations all over the country to help them start their own radio stations locally. We also advocate for these radio stations at the FCC and in Congress.
Radio. 1, 2, 3, 4, tell us what you're hooping for. Community.
Radio.
Community.
Radio. Radio.
Low-power community radio stations have a range usually of just 3 to 5 miles, sometimes up to 10 miles in rural areas. and they can be run on the power of a light bulb. They're 100 watts or less. So they're very low cost, and that makes it easy for regular people to get involved. And that's why a lot of community radio stations are run by small civic groups, arts groups, schools, colleges, regular people who have a message that they want to share, and they build a radio station, work together with volunteers and artists, producers, volunteer journalists to create an institution that can serve their community.
Arlene Sweeting is the station manager at WSLR Sarasota.
We've entered our new studio here at 525 Kumquat Court. On our right-hand side is our main studio, and we'll go in and say hello to one of our programmers. So this is John Hawk. John is one of almost 100 community volunteers we have programming at the radio station.
Just a beautiful place to be. It just fits my my lifestyle, my philosophy also. Peace and love is just... it's magic and it's real.
We are very happy to have a production facility here, and we have a number of interns that work with us from our local Honors College, New College, and they produce news here. And we've also set this up as a performance studio so we can have live bands in and get a little better sound with our on-air broadcast.
The K-Fox 80s Party Weekend.
Sometimes it's hard to describe because most people in this country have never experienced community radio. So it's hard to think about what would it be like to actually have a media source where you can hear your neighbors, where people can come together to have a local debate on the air about the school board elections or about pollution or crime or education, where you have local experts and local people involved. And it's not a 30-second soundbite. It's real conversation.
Good morning, I'm Danielle Kading, and you're listening to 97.7 WRNC-LP Ashland Northland College community-supported radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Once Upon an Island, Tales from Lopez.
As you know, there was a fire hydrant that was out on Bear Creek Road.
The way it all came about was, my wife was the secretary of a church in Everett.
Although we have increasingly amazing access to what's happening globally, you know, we're missing what's happening locally. And you see it in the movement for local food and the movement for local business, supporting local businesses. And I think that it's really important in media as well, that people are seeing a need to have news and information on the local level. And that's something that's not being fully met by our digital media landscape yet. What's the impact of being able to hear local bands on the air that you know that are in the community, that are getting support and at local venues? What's the impact of being able to hear your high school football games on the air? That's something that every community in this country would have had at one time and doesn't any longer. But I mean, there's deeper impacts as well. There are community radio stations that hold local politicians accountable, that, you know, call out injustice that they see in their community that the other local media are not doing. There are stations that are run by communities that have no other local media available to them, by particularly communities that speak languages other than English, Spanish language stations, other immigrant stations.
Something dramatic happening in their life, and perhaps there's a lot of...
yeah.
Hi, I'm Kim Tu Nguyen, and I'm a community organizer with VELA, the Vietnamese American Young Leader Association of New Orleans. VELA is really focused on bottom-up grassroots organizing. We hear stories of young folks being put into ESL classes, English as second language classes, simply because they're Latino or Vietnamese, even though they were born here and they speak English fluently and they know the language. And for those who got put in there, maybe for the right reason, ended up staying in there for a long time, And they get taught the same thing over and over. ABCs, table, chairs, simple sentences. And that's really not fair. It's holding them back from what education is supposed to give them, right? I don't think those stories are the stories of, you know, the Vietnamese community or this community, like the New Orleans East community. I don't think the media actually, like, even knows that we exist and, you know, to actually cover the issues that are most pressing to us. So I think that's one of our struggles, like biggest struggles, is that we don't have the media on our side. And whenever we have an action going on that engages the community, like, there's no record of it or there's no positive media portrayal of it, right? You have to make sure that not only are stories from your community get covered, but that they are covered in a way that explains to the audience what's been going on and that it's not filtered so that your message doesn't get lost. It would be really amazing to have our own radio station because first it goes back to the idea of who controls the battle, like who controls the media, controls the battle.
The Vietnamese American Young Leaders Association is hoping that they'll be able to start their own radio station soon. The Federal Communications Commission is opening a rare 2-week window this October when anyone can apply to create their own low-power radio station. More on how to do that after this break. You're listening to Making Contact, the production of the National Radio Project. Because of generous support from listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and South Africa. To find out how to support us, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. We now return to hear more about low-power FM radio and an exciting opportunity to start a radio station in your community, coming up in October 2013.
You and your hot streak of late.
3-4-30-95.
With T1 from the phone company.
And when was low-power FM invented, or LPFM invented?
So back in the late 90s, when Congress passed the Telecom Act that allowed for one corporation to own any number of radio stations nationwide, this was the time when we saw the rise of Clear Channel. And, you know, radio companies were eating up more and more radio stations, and a lot of towns were left without any local radio at all. And so any radio station you hear, you know, as today, it's oftentimes being broadcast from hundreds of miles away. There's no local DJs. There's no local news or information. And in the late 90s, people started to get really upset about this and pressure the FCC to create some way for small, you know, towns, communities, cities to have their own local radio stations again. And through that pressure, both from pirate radio operators, from activists, civic groups, cultural groups, legal, you know, court cases, finally, the FCC relented, and they created the low-power FM service in 2000.
I appreciate it. My parents lost everything.
KDIRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California.
Well, hi, you're at KDRT 95.7 FM in Davis, California. And KDIRT, as we call it, is part of Davis Media Access, which is the community media center here in Davis. I'm Autumn Labbé-Renaud. I'm the executive director of Davis Media Access. When there was a window years ago, Jeff Shaw, we can point the finger at Jeff and say, Jeff is the guy, the reason that KDIRT exists.
I got involved with KDRT by writing the application back in 1999 and in 2000, submitting it to the FCC during the first low-power FM window.
He approached the board here and said, hey, we have this opportunity to start a radio station. What do you think? And the board talked it over and decided it would be a great way to expand media options here in Davis.
We have anywhere from about 40 to 60 people who come in and do programming. They're aged 8 to 80. We've had kids who come in and their dads work the board, and sometimes they learn the board themselves.
For music, we have an emphasis on local, independent artists. And the second tier of that is also performers that you just don't hear on commercial radio.
You're talking to the roots here now. I spend some time on the islands. I really like the Hawaiian sounds. I blend up world reggae. World reggae is the name of my show. I've been doing a lot of South Pacific Island reggae. People, reggae is so tripping. There's like Danish reggae. You know what I mean? You know, there's Israeli reggae. There's Turkish reggae. You know what I mean? Because there's Brazilian reggae. There's, you know, Chilean reggae. We're just trying to put out the good vibe.
So there's a lot of raw sounding shows also that are sort of, you know, you might consider them works in progress, but they're like real people on the air that sound real. There's a new show in the past year called the Insect News Network.
Today I'm getting ready for the Beathon. It's the Beathon 3. It's going to be produced here at Davis Media Access. So for the third year in a row, I'm doing a 12-hour multimedia marathon to raise awareness about honeybees and other pollinators.
Creating community-owned infrastructure is one of the most exciting things we can do.
Jeff Shaw is now working with an organization called Common Frequency. Their mission is to help people start radio stations, including low-power FM stations. He's been consulting with groups across the country, helping them with their applications, which must be submitted between October 15th and 29th.
Dealing with the FCC is probably the most difficult part.
Shaw's got lots of experience with the FCC. Back in 2008, a larger radio station claimed KDIRT's tiny 100-watt signal was causing interference with theirs, and the scrappy little station had to raise enough money to relocate to another frequency. They barely survived. Prometheus Radio Project's Brandy Doyle says that's just a taste of the power that major broadcasters used en masse back in 2000 when the FCC was making the rules about licensing LPFMs. And it's the reason why there'll be a lot more licenses granted this time around.
Corporate broadcasters claimed that these small stations would cause interference to their stations. There was no proof for this. The FCC saw no problem looking at the way these stations were licensed. But they went to Congress and they passed a law so much that limited low-power radio basically to rural areas. It was so limited that today there's no low-power radio in any major city in the country. They're all in rural and suburban areas.
Why is that?
So when corporate broadcasters claim that these stations cause interference to their stations, they passed a seemingly small technical rule that limited how close a low-power station could be to an existing station. And basically, it had to be more than 3 clicks on the dial away from another station.
End of season prizes. To the rational sides of the brain.
So if there was a radio station on 91.3 and you wanted to start a low-power station in the same area, you couldn't put it on 91.3 or in 91.5 or in 91.7. or in 91.9, the next available station would be 4 clicks away over on 92.1. And so that's quite a big gap. That means that there were no room for low power stations in most cities. So it took us about a decade, but we worked to repeal that original law in Congress to allow for low power stations in urban areas. One of the reasons that we were successful is that this was a bipartisan effort, that there were groups on both sides of the aisle that saw the need for local media. And so we were able to bring a number of lawmakers on board.
Senators, now is the time to pass this bill. Let's expand community radio to everyone.
So now a low power station can be 3 clicks away. And it can even be 2 clicks away as long as the station proves it won't cause interference to its neighbors. This change opened up a lot more room for community radio in this country. It means that in urban areas where there was no frequencies available for low-power radio, now there are several. In some cities, there are more than 10. In some cities, there are just 3 or 4. But now we're seeing the possibility of having low-power radio in these urban areas where the small reach of a low-power radio station can reach hundreds of thousands of people.
But the Constitution, to the extent it's honored at all, is honored in the breach. When the
Yeah, so my name is Albert Sykes. I'm the National Director of Policy and Advocacy for the Young People's Project. And we are a mathematics literacy organization that was founded here in Jackson, Mississippi. Through working with young people with math, we also get to know them on deeper levels and learn about the lives that they're living in the communities that they come from. I think the media in Jackson in particular has been able to perpetuate this image of Jackson as a terrible place, you know. Jackson has its problems like most other cities, but it's also a place that has great people with great potential to do a lot of great things and turn this city into a much better place to live and be. But I don't think those type of efforts get as much coverage as the latest homicide or the latest robbery. So there's a lot of good that doesn't get uplifted in this community. And I think also just for the state as a whole, when you're talking about how the media covers the issues of poverty and race, the issues of health, I don't think it's been a great job done to highlight any of those issues, and not just to highlight the problems, but to also highlight some of the proposed solutions that's coming from the grassroots level of how we joining these conversations together. And when you talking about low power FM, then you talking about more than a radio station. You talking about the opportunity for people to really communicate in their own language and communicate stories and information that's relevant to the places that they are. I think a community radio station gives us the opportunity to prove that it's not that we have voiceless people. We have people that don't have platforms on which they can be heard, you know. So it's not that they voiceless, it's just that they not listened to. And so this is a place for young people and community members to be able to talk about community issues. It's a place where local artists can promote local work and local music. It's a place where local organizations can talk about the work that they're doing. It's a place where people can really build a practice and a habit of trying to establish something that's community-driven, community-owned, community-cared for.
That way, each side of your brain can
put in the second quiz.
From you guys, so what do you think, what makes up a community radio station? What is an important, what do you have to have a functioning community radio station? Any ideas, thoughts?
Local programming?
Pardon?
Local programming.
Local programming. Okay, that's one, definitely. What do you think you would need to actually get to set up a radio station?
A lot of technology.
Technology?
Pardon? Antenna?
An antenna.
In a shoe store in downtown Oakland, California, about a dozen people are crowded in a circle, getting the basics on what community radio is and how to make it happen.
Okay, so there's probably three things that you can't do without. These licenses will only be granted to 501c3s, and a 501c3 is a charitable organization. It's a nonprofit organization. So you either preferably start one, are one, or partner with one.
Meetings like this have been taking place all over the country as the word gets out about the two-week application window in October. Tracy Rosenberg, who works with Common Frequency, is presenting the exciting and sobering details of what it's going to take.
The second thing, you need somewhere to put your transmitter. There's absolutely no radio station without a transmitter, so there needs to be a high place that will let you stick your transmitter there. The third thing you probably have to have is somewhere between $10,000 and $25,000 for equipment. And that's just the stuff that you need to be able to transmit a signal.
There are volunteers here, too, looking to do outreach themselves. Although they all have different interests, the consensus is that there needs to be a bigger variety of content on the radio.
You know, there's not a lot of creative work happening in corporate radio these days, and I think that these stations offer a possibility for something different, and they may pressure other stations in the same market to play better music, to have more interesting guests on, to have actual news in a way that they're not getting pressure or competition currently. There's a low power station, KOCZ, in Opelousas, Louisiana. Opelousas is the heartland of Zydeco music, and in that community, none of the radio stations were playing Zydeco music. So this low power station got very involved in the Zydeco community, was playing Zydeco music, involved with Zydeco festivals, and everyone was tuning in.
We had a jewel here in the South, especially in Opelousas,
and that jewel was Zydeco Music, the Zydeco culture. And we could not get the major radio stations to play none of the music. That was the birthplace here in this community. Well, my name is John Freeman, and I'm president of Southern Development Foundation. The station is KOCZ. It's a LPFM station, started around 2000. And what we do, we provide information, education, and entertainment to our community here in Opelousas. So we try to do everything we can to promote democracy in this community in terms of building relationships with government entities, let our community know what we have for them that'll help empower the community. And so our goal is to empower the community to have a voice. And historically, this community had never had a voice with African Americans at all. Four or five of us started to try to raise some money through cake sales, anything we could get. You know, people came and make donations. So those are the things that we did in the early days, try to get the station start. We have some 22 volunteers or more that comes in on a committed basis every week and provide entertainment. They provide talk shows, they provide educational forums, they provide political forums and have those discussions that makes a community better. Those things that causes economic development information, those things that causes land use information, public safety issues, and educational issues that helps our community to grow and identify itself through its cultural base. I would think the best story for us is how this little small station changed the fabric of Zydeco music statewide and nationally, and how we have made and compelled these other people in the major radio station to pay attention to Zydeco. And so LPFM allowed this to happen. The end result is that every major station in from this community and almost surrounding communities are playing Zydeco music. Zydeco music today in this area is the number one music in this whole region.
In many places, the FM dial is already pretty saturated. There's not many frequencies available that are empty. If you turn in your car radio and turn through the dial, there's a radio station on most frequencies, and there's just not that much more room to add another. So we think that after October, it's unlikely there's going to be another window like this where people can apply for low-power stations. This is the first one in more than a decade. It's the first one ever for urban areas, and we think it's going to be the last major opportunity.
That's it for this edition of Making Contact, which was dedicated to the memory of Paul Muniz. If you're interested in starting a low-power radio station in your community, go to our website, radioproject.org, for links to Prometheus, Common Frequency, and other groups you heard about on today's show.
For anyone thinking about applying for a license, be prepared to fall in love with radio if you're not already. Be prepared to work harder than you've ever worked and to have a lot of fun.
Special thanks to the Prometheus Radio Project for some of the audio you heard on this program. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get a podcast, download past shows, or make a difference by supporting our work. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Our handle is making_contact. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.